I'm going to continue where I left off quite a while ago, looking at how we as children of God have responsibility to fulfill our destiny and to bring transformation, change to the world which we're called to be in. Isaiah 42:9, behold, the former things have come to pass. And that's great today, and we're celebrating someone's graduation. It's like the former things have come to pass, they've gone. Yeah. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. So God has already called us with a destiny that he's proclaimed to us in our spirit. We may not know fully in our mind yet, but in our spirit it contains that destiny, that call of God for a new day, because we're new creations in Christ. So God is revealing lots of new things in our day. And that would be right across the board, from scientific discovery, discovering things that he's already done. You know, science doesn't make anything. It just discovers the things that are already there. And God's already put these things in place for us to engage in. So we've been comparing old and new and looking at various old things and new things in our lives and what God's doing in our midst, so that we can make sure we embrace the new and don't cling on to the old, even by default. Because sometimes we're creatures of habit and we just continue the way we've always done because we've never had a change of thinking and mind. And God wants to bring us to a revelation that he's doing new things, and we're part of that. So the whole Joshua generation, a generation that took their inheritance by crossing over into a new dimension, are forerunners of these new things. And we're characterized by establishing those things in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we've all been called to engage in that place where we came from and where spiritually we can reconnect. We've been looking at evangelism, and this is the sixth and last session of that, you'll be glad to hear, from a new perspective. And the whole context of evangelism for us is that we are a supernatural embassy of heaven, a storehouse ready to receive a harvest of people, so that people can come into a relationship with God, and we'll be ready to help them to come into their destiny and their inheritance, and help them be free from all the hindrances of the past which hinder and obstruct that. So at the heart of evangelism is the gospel. Now, you know, you say the word gospel, you say the word evangelism, you have all sorts of connotations, usually negative ones, or I do anyway. But it's actually good news, you know. The reality is it's good news because it's a relationship with God himself. It isn't a technique or anything like that. It's a relationship, and we've all been called to have an intimate, real personal relationship with God, who created us for that relationship, because he is relationship. Father, Son, and Spirit living in perfect relationship, and they've invited us to come into that. Now, to that and for that, we have to discover who God really is, because most of our lives we've probably come up against things which are really not love or relationship. And therefore, it's hard sometimes to engage God when you've not experienced those things in your own life. So the heart of the good news is love, a love relationship with God who has, in this world, loved us. John 3:16 is a scripture most people know. For God so loved the world. Now, that doesn't just mean people. It means the whole cosmos, everything that he has created, he loves. That because he loved that, and because that whole creation has been messed up to one degree or another, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, we can see from another version of this that this goes beyond perhaps what we understand that to mean, or traditionally understand it to mean. I want to read this from the Mirror Bible version. It says, the object of God's affection. Who's that? Us. And everything that he's created. He is not about to abandon his creation. The gift of his Son is for humanity to realize their origin in him, who mirrors their authentic birth, begotten not of flesh, but of the Father. So everything that we've received in our life in this world, God is basically saying that is not the origin. That wasn't the beginning. We were created in him before all that. But because of what we call sin, you know, which is being separated from that image and not knowing who we are and losing our identity, we're the whole of our lives trying to find it. But actually, it can only be found in the origin, the place where we were originally created, which is in relationship with God. In this persuasion, the life of the ages echoes within the individual and announces that the days of regret and sense of lostness are over. I think that's wonderful. It's like, no matter what's happened in the past, God can deal with that and bring us back to a even further past in the true origin and then unveil that to us so that we really know and experience who he really is and who we are. And that's the understanding of the good news, is we can reconnect with God and that identity of who we are in spite of everything that the world has thrown at us. Matthew 5:13, let me tell you why you're here. This is talking to his disciples. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. And we looked at that last time. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. So if we're here to be light, it's really important that we understand about light. Now, when I engaged in heaven once and I asked God about love, he kept talking to me about light. And I was really confused. And I didn't understand virtually a word he said. Well, I understand what the words, but I didn't understand how they were put together to make any sense. Because it was beyond my capacity at the time to understand. Because I was limited in my understanding of God at the time. So over the last sort of 5 years, it makes a little bit more sense than it did then. How love and light and God are all, in a sense, one thing. Which is interesting. So light has amazing properties. If you Google light, and I'm just going to give you a few of them, but it's just amazing. Light is an amazing thing. It can occur in many wavelengths, as visible colors, and we have the colors of the rainbow and all the variations that they bring. In heaven, there are even more than that, beyond seven, and many more variations. There's also invisible colors or wavelengths that we can't see. Light illuminates everything so we can see it. If there was no light, we would be in complete darkness, and therefore we wouldn't know where we were or what was going on. There are so many wavelengths of light that we can't see, but we feel the effects of them. So just because you can't see something physically or visibly doesn't mean that it's not actually affecting our lives. And that happens all the time. And some of those things are good things, and some of those things in the right measure are good things, and some of those things in the right wrong measure are bad things for us. So infrared light can heat and cook. Can't see it, but we feel its effects. Halogen lights we have now, different form of light that comes from gas, certain gas, halogen gases, that, again, we can use to heat things, cook things, light things. Ultraviolet light can give a sunburn, which can give us a nice tan, or actually can create things which eventually lead to skin cancer and things like that. So a very powerful thing. Also, ultraviolet light can reveal things invisible to the naked eye. If you've watched CSI, and they show this light, and you can see all this stuff. It's like, I'm not describing what they are, because some of them are a bit naughty. But fluorescence is a chemically produced light through exciting various gases, and things fluoresce. Light can create fire through a lens. So if you focus light, it can become extremely powerful and extremely hot, enough to ignite things. So a lot of things with light. Light can luminesce in the dark. You've watched faces. You can see in the dark because of luminescence. Some creatures produce their own light in bioluminescence. And you see in nature programs some things in the deep sea and things, and they're sort of fluorescing and bioluminescing all this light. Amazing. Light can actually send information through fiber optic cables over huge distances. Light can be focused through a laser to cut material, metal, rock. And we now have technology to replace the things that actually, in the early days of creation, through Adam and things, he had the power to use to move things with light and sound. So light therapy can be used to treat diseases. Newborn babies who have jaundice, they put them under a UV light. Full sunlight or exposure to bright light from a light box is used to treat seasonal affective disorder, SAD. And it's a very good acronym because people feel sad when they don't have enough light. Red light therapy is used in skincare, wound care, and pain relief. Ultraviolet light therapy or ultraviolet phototherapy is a form of treatment for certain skin and atopic skin disorders. Amazing what light can do. light invisibly remotely controls our electronic equipment. We use things all the time that are light technology or use light without really thinking about what light is or how light relates to us and God, because he is light and he's called us to be light. Medical applications include CT or computed tomography, scans, MRI scans, magnetic resonance, ultrasounds. They're all frequencies. X-ray is a form of radiography. We actually use radio waves, light waves, to deal with, again, cancers and various other things. Light aids the production of certain vitamins, like vitamin D, and without that, you are not healthy. Obviously, research labs and classrooms use microscopes to see things you can't see with the visible eye. Telescopes enable us to see in the far distant things into space, and the Hubble telescope and all those amazing NASA things of nebulas and amazing pictures of something which is just all light, essentially. Technology such as high-resolution cameras, laser micro-dissection. We use it in medical things. Molecular probe development. They all aid our understanding of the natural environment because light reveals things. It unveils things. It brings things into perspective. Plants need light to photosynthesize food. That process turns CO2 into oxygen, and without that, we couldn't breathe. And actually, without plants, we couldn't eat much. Oh, well, we could eat meat. Yeah, but most meat relies on plants. Yeah. So if you didn't have plants and you didn't have light, you wouldn't be able to eat or breathe. Sunlight, without sunlight, this planet would be so cold that we couldn't exist. So without light, life wouldn't exist as we know it. I used to work in a biochemistry lab, and I used to use light to examine and to do all sorts of tests. Spectroscopy, used to analyze medical and other fields. So I used to use that in photometry, colorimetry, atomic absorption, I loved that stuff, you know, thinking about it. I used to love playing around with light. I found out all sorts of things using light. You know, we were able to diagnose disease and certain conditions using light. Solar energy. I've got solar panels on my roof, which cuts my electricity bills and gives us bio energy, renewable energy sources. So I have these panels, and they take the sun's rays, convert it into electric energy, and then I use it and feed it back into the grid for other people to use. We use light in all sorts of things. Signal systems, visible signals, traffic lights. What would happen if suddenly we couldn't see red and green? A load of smashes, no doubt. Navigation signals, lighthouses, warning lights, indicator lights on cars. I mean, how many people don't switch their indicators on? It's really annoying because you don't know where they're going. So light, all those things are functions of light. So ultraviolet light is even good at sterilizing things. So it kills microbes in the air. Light maintains the body clock or circadian rhythm. And without that, we would struggle to sleep or know the different ways things. So every day, light keeps plants, animals ticking with time. Interesting, isn't it? You don't tend to think about all these different things. And then there are chemical formula and scientific formula, like Einstein's formula, E equals mc squared, c squared being light squared. Light affects the solidity of matter. So we see things and feel things that we think are solid because light is vibrating at a particular frequency. Light influences energy becoming matter and vice versa. The speed of light affects time itself. The speed of light has slowed down, and there's good scientific evidence for that. Therefore, our concept of the time in the past would change with that. So if light was a billion times slower than it is now, a day would be equivalent to a billion years, relatively. Interesting when you look at the 7 days of creation and how light was and what the speed of light was then. And there's a really good formula that extrapolates that 7 days equals 13.4 billion years if light was slower. So light transfers energy and consciousness and enables us to be translated spiritually in time and space and trans-relocated physically in space, because it's all a function of how light transfers energy and matter around. So when you step into heaven, it's a function of light. So we need to understand light, how to use light, how to be light, and how to radiate light. As a light to the world, we need to shine. But what does it mean to shine? And what I want to show you is it means a lot more than you ever thought. Because God wants us to be able to, as created sons of God, to effectively be not subject to light and time and everything else that light brings, but it will be subject to us. Therefore, the times and seasons, which actually are a function of light, sun going around the moon and all that sort of stuff, we are supposed to, as God's children, have the authority to rule in that. So we need to understand how to use light. Obviously, in the Bible, when you hear the word light read or see it written, it actually has different analogies to it. It can mean a physical thing. It can also mean something spiritual. It can also mean something moral, because we talk about light in a moral sense. So there's various ways in which the Bible uses light that are helpful for us to understand. John 8:12 says, Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if we want a full, complete life, then we need to walk in the light and understand God being light and how that affects the world in which we live. And how, if we are going to be children of light, how we will affect the world in which we live for good. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. So actually God is described as light. John 9:5, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So God is light, and Jesus came and described himself as the light of the world to unveil what God was like, because it says he is the express image of God. And you can look at the Old Testament and think, I'm not really sure I like that God. But then Jesus comes on the scene and unveils what God is really like. And the Old Testament must be seen through the lens or the light that Jesus came to express. So we can truly know God through the light that Jesus revealed. Matthew 14:5-14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So it's pointless having light and sticking it under a bucket, covering it up, as that verse says. So we can be radiators or emitters of that light, as sons of light, if we're not hidden behind a mask or a veil. It has to be seen and it has to be experienced so that it can benefit the world and benefit us. So light can refer to electromagnetic energy. Light can be used as an analogy for various attributes of God, his presence or moral character. And we're going to look at some of those contexts of how light is used. So who is God? God is spirit, God is light, and God is love. And those actually are interchangeable because they all have a dimension of unveiling what God is truly like. So God is Father, Son, and Spirit. God is the perfect expression of a love relationship, which light reveals. So we need to experience God's love to be able to demonstrate it to the world. So if we're going to be the light of the world, it's linked to love and an understanding of love in relationship. And as we were talking earlier about experiencing that love and then being able to love others with the same love. And so demonstrating light is an effectively outworking of love and an outworking of the spirit, because the spirit is connected. So we're all created as light beings in God's image. That's who we are. And when we look at each other, we might not think that's true, but actually all I'm seeing is light reflected off you, and that which reflects rather than that which is absorbed. So you absorb certain light, depending on what your color, you're wearing, everything, and some of it you reflect, and I can only see what you're reflecting. So if you weren't reflecting light, you would be invisible. So what are we reflecting in that light? Not just the physical image of who we are, but everything about us. We give off to people. People can sense around us things, whether we're in a good mood or a bad mood, whether we've got a good attitude or a stinking attitude. Those things can be picked up because we emanate them, we radiate them, we create a field, an electric field or an electromagnetic field or a light field around us that when we're close enough to people, they can touch. And when you learn to use that, you can actually read what's going on and see in the spiritual realm things in people, which is what Jesus did all the time. So our spirits are actually still light. You know, the very nature and fabric of that is because spirit is light. And it's supposed to be love. So when we're non-physical, non-local, in quantum physics terms, we are in the spiritual and heavenly realms, we're light there. You know, we often see things from residual memory. So we see people and things because that's the way our mind interprets what we're engaging in. But actually, we're light. And when Jesus turned up to Paul on the road to Damascus, it was in such a bright light, he couldn't even see. He was blind for 3 days with the impact of that reality of light. So light is God's way of transferring energy through space. So we can complicate it by talking about interactive electric and magnetic fields, quantum mechanics, and all that sort of stuff, which I like, but most of you it's over the top of your head and you're bored with. But light is basically energy, you know. It's energy. You know, and energy is really important because energy is power. Energy enables things to take place, enables things to exist. Without light energy, things wouldn't exist. Because quantum physically, if you don't observe something, it doesn't exist. It's non-local. So fortunately, God is looking at us. Because if he blinked, we might not be here. Because actually, it is only through observance, and that's all tied up with light, that existence is here. Ephesians 5:8-10. You were there once, that's the past, trapped in the same darkness, but now you're light. So all of us who come into a relationship with God once walked in darkness and were trapped in that darkness until we encountered the light. And it says in Corinthians that that light shone into our hearts and unveiled something. It revealed God and it revealed us, our true selves. Now you are light. Your life confirms that light rules. Because darkness is nothing. Darkness only exists when light is not there. Darkness is nothing. It's an absence of light. So whenever we are in light, there is no darkness. The spiritual harvest of light is evident in all that is excellent, innocent, impeccable, integrity. This gives certain evidence to the life of God's delight. So God wants people to see the light in our lives, in how we live, not just in the moral sense, but in terms of the sense of being sons and operating in light, with light. Ephesians 5:14, this is the message of light. Christ awakens you from your intoxicated slumber and resurrects you out of the death trap of enslaved thought patterns. So the way you see yourself traps you into that existence. So if you see yourself in a particular way, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, those thoughts will trap you there. So we need to have the light, the message of light, to reveal who we really are and to reveal what this world is really about. Because then we won't be trapped. We won't be in slumber. You know, because living like that intoxicates us. It traps us into that existence, and God wants to change that existence, and he wants to reveal that by demonstrating what light is really about and revealing things to us. So our testimony of coming out of darkness into light is powerful. And that light of our testimony can draw people to God himself. Because when they experience what light is radiating through us and engaging love, then they are seeing God. So our life is supposed to help people see God. So what's the definition of light? The natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. That's the simple thing. So I can see. You can see because of light. So can people see God by our light is the question. So light is part of that electromagnetic spectrum which ranges from radio waves right to gamma waves. So it's a huge spectrum. All different wavelengths. You know, some vibrating at slow rates, some vibrating at very fast rates. God is light, light is energy. God is spirit, Therefore, light is spiritual energy which travels as waves and becomes particles as we observe it. That's a scientific truth. Because light is a really weird thing. And there's all these experiments, like double slit experiments, which shows that the way you look at it depends whether it's a wave or a particle, a photon. And when something manifests as a photon, it can be experienced and seen. So think of your whole life being a manifestation of light that will touch people in a way that they will experience what life is really all about from a heavenly or kingdom perspective. So it's really important that we understand how to radiate and be light. So we move things out of different dimensions and realms of heaven dimensionally with light energy. That's how we travel in the spirit, through light energy. And we can shift revelation and truth from that realm into this realm and manifest it. It's called manifesting something through faith, where all the spiritual blessings are available in the heavenly realms, but need to manifest in this realm. And we need to understand how to use light to do that. There are different speeds of light in the different heavenly realms, I've discovered, because there are different times of those realms that function differently. So, therefore, the light is faster the closer you get to God, who is pure light, until there's no time in God. Because light being a function of time, if you approach and engage God, there is no time. Therefore, it's all now, which is why God is not linear as we know it. We live in a linearity of time depending on light speed. We call that eternity. You know, a better word is, you know, to say what was before anything else was, outside of time and space. So when we go and we engage God's person, we can engage in outside of time and space, and we can engage the now, where everything is now. So there are six light speeds and forms of light that I've engaged with. God is light, pure, ultimate speed, highest frequency, pre-existing light of our own spiritual identity, who he created to be in his image. Lucifer, the light bearer, reflecting light of the angelic realm. There's the creative light, greater light as it's described, of the spiritual realm. And then there's the created lesser light, sun, moon, and stars in the natural realm. Then there's transfigured light. I like this. Spiritual light frequencies that engages the physical realm through us. Because when Jesus was transfigured, he radiated light. And there are people around the world who actually are sometimes caught by cameras and different things as radiating balls of light. And in essence, when you learn to see in the spiritual realm, you can see what people call an aura around everybody, and it contains light. And it's a particular color, depending on what state they're in, depending on what you're giving off. You know, now you can learn to see that. So light is the subject to our consciousness, is subject to our consciousness, and the frequency our voice creatively. So we can effectively turn energy into matter and matter into energy, if we understand how to use the power of our mind to effectively do what God did. God said and God saw, let there be whatever, and there was. So we need to use the same power of creativity that God gave us, in which we can collapse a quantum possibility into reality. Now, I'll give you an example of this. When God showed me this, and I was looking at this, and you're seeing, wow, this, all these possibilities exist. How do I choose which one is right? And God said, well, if you're walking with me, they're all right. Just choose. So I did this, and I was having this encounter, and I got up from this encounter, and I looked at my watch, and it was 7:45. And I needed to be seeing Jeremy in the office at 8:00, and I wasn't even dressed properly. You know, I was still lounging around, having been spent the last 2 hours with God in this encounter. So I thought, ah. Then immediately I thought, well, here's a possibility, a quantum possibility of, I can collapse that I will be able to be there in reality by 8:00. So I did. So I chose that reality. Then I went upstairs, I washed, changed, got ready, came down, and I looked at the kitchen clock, and it had moved to 7:55. I looked at my own watch, and my own watch, which is a eco drive thing that never stops, was still saying 7:45. So I thought, ooh, I'm going to test this. So I went out into the garden and I watered all the plants in the greenhouse. I fed the fish. I did all this stuff that I would have done if I'd had time, but I did have time. So I did that, and I came back, and the clock was gone, 8 o'clock. I looked at my watch, still 2:15. So then I said, oh, I'm going to go to work now. So then Deb said, remember, I've got the car today. So I thought, okay, no problem. So I walked down the road. You know, normally takes 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. I got 3/4 of the way down the road. It was actually still 2:15 on my watch. So I was living in a reality of a bubble that I had created by using my consciousness to create that reality, to choose. Because I have a mandate to do everything that God's calling me to do. And what God was calling me to do was engage with Jeremy in the office. So I could effectively control that. And so I got 3/4 of the way, then I noticed my watch was ticking again, and I walked and I got to the office at 5:02. Because God said God saw, I saw and I said. I'm having that reality which enables me to do everything that God wants me to do. Now think of what you would be able to do with that power. Now it's not a party trick, and I haven't done it like that since. I have done it a few times in terms of being able to get distances quicker than I should have done in planes and cars and things like that. But what God is saying is there is way more to demonstrate in sonship than we ever thought. And the creative image that we were created in as sons is way beyond anything we've experienced. And God wants to unveil that to us, the power to see and say. God called things that are not as if they are, and they became. So I called a potential reality into being, and it became. And we can all do that. You all do it all the time, actually. You choose to make a decision, and then reality is created. You could have chosen billions of things, but you chose one, and then that became reality, and then history. Love illuminates God. It lights him up for all to see through our light, which is why we need to love one another. This is why we need to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, because it illuminates the reality of God and relationship. God is spirit, God is love. Neither of those things can be physically seen with our natural eyes, but both can be felt as those vibrating energy fields around us, because you feel and sense something. So God, being light, radiates a vibrating energy, a frequency, or a wavelength of electromagnetic energy through us. So think of being a channel of light that will connect to people and demonstrate God's presence and his love. So the glory of God, and we talk about that as almost like a Shekinah glory, the presence of God, is like the word means weight, and it's like the weight of God's essence displayed as light energy that people can experience and feel. So when we're in a sense of worship sometimes it's like heaven and earth are overlapped, and you just feel something. You sense something. Your body is aware. And when we first had that happening here, we could hardly stand up. Poor band who used to have to play were sort of like struggling even to stand up under the weight of that presence. We used to call it twomp, the weight of my presence, which was like, whoa, how do we feel that? Because we're picking up a vibrating frequency of energy by our spirit. And our bodies actually can feel it. Hence, a few of you guys who were prayed for by Mike Bryant a few weeks ago ended up in a poleaxe heap on the floor. How? Because the power of God, energy, touched your physical body and you could not stand under it. Because it is so powerful. Now you can learn to stand under it. And we've learned actually to stand in the presence of God and continue to worship him and engage. John 12:32 says, "And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." This is Jesus talking. So what have we been lifting up? What have we been demonstrating that would draw people to Jesus? Can they even see Jesus through the church? Well, a lot of the religious institution, I would say the Jesus they're presenting, we really don't want to know. But the true people of God who are truly in relationship and fellowship and intimacy with God should be able to demonstrate something the world really does want, because it's love. So it's love's light fully expressed in Jesus will draw people. So we're Jesus with skin on to the world. He's gone back up there and said, now you're now the light of the world. So shine. Let people see me, which is the reality of what evangelism really is. People seeing God, Jesus, for themselves and wanting that. So all matter that can be seen is created by energy operating at the speed of light. Everything. Things we see, things we don't see. So we can engage with that. Light, energy becomes matter, a wave becomes a photon, a particle of conscious observance. Love can be directed like that. I saw a vision, and I was engaging the other week, and I saw this vision, and I saw all these angels, and they had these sort of, all scepter-type things. Well, they weren't really like that. They were sort of these crystal things. And I saw it was like sending out a beam of light, a red light. And these light were actually, you know, like, you know, in these films, you see that they target people with a laser light when they have a gun. I could see that these angels were targeting people with these laser lights. So they were lit up, if you like, with these laser lights. Then I saw these other angels in heaven, and they had these weapons. And they were called smart bombs, smart love bombs. And it was like God was guiding that smart laser bomb onto a target, which was people who would experience an explosion of God's love that would reveal him. And I think God is giving that things to us, that we can direct that to people and places and situations so we can see a few smart bombs released out of heaven that will explode people's understanding of God because they will experience love in its true form. So there's all sorts of things like this that go beyond. So when we see manifestations of love through miracles and healing and creative things, it's a demonstration of who God is in light, that we actually see it, feel it, experience it. So light expresses love as a spiritual energy that can be experienced. Love energizes and refreshes like the cool waves or ripples of a stream, the stream of living water flowing from God's throne, flowing through our innermost being to bring that light, that water, energy to the world. So love is the very essence of God, and he's vibrating. He is energy. He is light. And that frequency carries information that reveals his very nature. So we're all sons of light, to be the light so that the world can see God. Simple, isn't it? Not easy, though, is it? It's like, how do you do that? Well, you engage with God. You get close to him. Because what we behold, we become like. And he's created us in his image. So we need to see ourselves the way we are truly created, the way he sees us. Rather than the way we see ourselves, or other people see us, or what other people have projected onto us, we need to listen to God and engage God so God can reveal that. So the light of love can be experienced and known through power, through healing, through grace and mercy and forgiveness. It's an expression of the nature and character of God. So whenever we forgive somebody when they don't deserve it, that is a characteristic of God's light. Love brings reconciliation and relationship restoration. That is a characteristic of God's light. It's our responsibility to demonstrate God's light, to reveal God. So whenever we are not reconciled with someone, we're walking in darkness and the world can't see God. Whenever we're not forgiving anybody, we're walking in darkness and the world cannot see God. So it's so important that we actually understand the very character and nature of God so we can outwork this. So light carries the essence of love, a spiritual energy that changes the world. So love changes the world. So love makes the world go round. Is that a song? Quote? But it is a quote. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Yeah. Beatles song. Yeah, they did write some really good stuff. Because they're made in the image of God. Now, they may have twisted what the word love actually meant. But the reality is God is love. So it's God is all we need. And all we need is God. Yeah. That will bring change to the whole world. So love is the most powerful thing in the universe. God is love. And love is God, his very nature. So whenever anybody truly loves selfishly, that is not God. When anyone loves unselfishly, that's an expression of God in people. And even those who don't yet know that God's in them, and they're included in God and in relationship, God is still revealing himself through the passions and the things that he's placed creatively in people. And when we look at people, we mustn't look at people with our natural eyes. We need to look at people in a spiritual sense to see the potential and the reality of who they are in God, even if they don't yet know God. When a mother loves a child, that's an expression of God in them. And all those things are God in people. So we need to see that that will express that. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So true agape love, which is the love, which is the God's love, not erotic love or brotherly love or other forms of love. True love is the nature and character of God, and which is why John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, which sums up all that stuff, you know, which was a reflection of what we required God to be, because we made God in our image by following the path of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. So when then God reveals himself in truth, it's like, no, I'm telling you now a whole new expression, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13 because it's the Bible verses that express love, what love really is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Wow. What would it be if the world could see us living like that? I'll read this in another version. I could predict the future in detail and have a word of knowledge for everyone. I could possess amazing faith and prove it by moving mountains. It doesn't make me any more important than anyone else. Love is who you are. You're not defined by your gift or deeds. Ooh. So identity doesn't come from what we do. It comes out of knowing who we are. Love gives context to faith. Moving mountains is not the point. Love is. Love is not about defending a point of view. Even if I'm prepared to give away everything I have and die a martyr's death, love does not have to prove itself by acts of supreme devotion or self-sacrifice. Love is large in being passionate about life and relentlessly patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others with kindness. Love is completely content and strives for nothing. Love is predictable and does not behave out of character. Love has no desire to make others feel inferior, has no need to sing its own praises. Love is not ambitious for self. Love is not spiteful, gets no mileage out of another's mistakes. Love sees no joy in injustice. Love's delight is in everything that truth celebrates. Love is a fortress where everyone feels protected rather than exposed. Love's persuasion is persistent. Love believes. Love never loses hope and always remains constant in contradiction. Love never loses its altitude. It's like, love is all we need. And all we need is love. It's true, because it's like, that is the very nature of God. So if we're going to be light that energizes the world, then we need to radiate and emit a frequency of love that the world can experience. That description is what the world should see and feel when they engage us. We might have a little bit of work to do. But God is transforming us into that image so people can see him. So we need to arise and shine, displaying God's glory as the glory of sonship to bring creation freedom, as it talks about in Romans chapter 8. So we must live loved, love living, and live loving. And it's about that. Sums up life. You know, someone asked me the other day, how are you doing? I said, I'm living loved. Because I felt totally loved. So I could say, I'm living loved. Other people call it bliss. But it's living in the cocoon of God, because we're in him, completely surrounded by love, in relationship, in the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is a full reflection of love. We live in it. And if we live in it, we will love living, because we've got something to live for. And we will live loving, because everything we do will be a demonstration of love. true freedom. You know, John was known as the apostle of love. Why? Because he spent so much time hanging around with Jesus close to him. John 13:23. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Well, how did he know Jesus loved him? Because he was so close to him, he felt it. He wasn't distant. You know, Judas, I doubt, put his head on Jesus' breast. But John did. Now, John has the most wonderful revelation in his gospel and epistles and in Revelation of the nature and character of God and his love. Because he was resting close to Jesus' heart. Cardiogenosis is the knowledge of the heart in a metaphysical sense. In other words, it isn't by knowledge that you get with your head, but you know it. And Acts 1:24 uses that word, cardiogenosis. They prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you've chosen." And it's like that word, cardiogenosis, is the connection that we have with people's electric field, are what they radiate. And we can have heart-to-heart communication with people. You can just get so close to people that you know their heart. And you know the love that they're giving off. Telepathy, telekinesis, all come from that ability to know. Jesus knew and discerned the thoughts and intentions of people's hearts. So that ability also links with light. Psalm 90, verse 8, "You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence." Light exposes things that are hidden in darkness. Mark 4:22, "There is nothing hidden, but it must be disclosed. Nothing kept secret except to be brought to the light." So light enables us to know what's going on in somebody. Now, you don't want to use that for your own purposes. You use it like Jesus did to reveal the state of someone's heart so they can experience love and restoration and reconciliation. 1 Corinthians 4:5, "He will bring into the light of day all that is present hidden in darkness. He will expose the secret motives of men's hearts. Not to damage or hurt them, but to bring healing and wholeness to them." So when we look at someone, can we see the darkness that's in them? Because that's what Jesus was able to do. Not to expose them and bring them into condemnation, but to bring them into healing and restoration. So our light will reveal things if we're willing to shine in the world. Now, I believe this will mean that all sorts of things that are hidden right now in society will come into the light when we begin to shine. And you can see some of that in the abuse scandals that have come out through various sporting things. It is because Christians are beginning to radiate light that brings things into the light, because those things are not God's heart for people. 2 Corinthians 4:2 to 6, it says, "We have renounced secret and shameful ways, for God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." It's all about the knowledge of the light of God being shined so that we experience it. As we live as light, truth will be revealed. We will be truth revealers in that way. So there's a whole lot of scriptures that talk about this. John 3:13, "No one can fully engage heaven's perspective unless one's heavenly origin is realized. The Son of Man declares humanity's co-genesis from above." In other words, we are born from above, and we can live above, and we can bring above into below. So living in dual or multidimensional realms from our true identity of sons enables us to shine heaven's light in the earth, to manifest heaven on the earth. John 3:19, this is the crisis. Light is here right now. And this was talking about Jesus. He was there physically. "Yet people are so addicted to their own darkness, they prefer a life of labors and annoyances and hardships. But light is here. It was there. And now we're here. So we should be exposing a better life. So people really don't want to be addicted to their own darkness, because they can see there is something so much better in a relationship with God that enables people to live in health and wholeness and be blessed and fulfilled and all those wonderful things that come from outworking who we are and our identity in God, that they'll want that. So all those things that may be addictive right now I think they're going to become a lot less attractive when true light shines, when we shine to demonstrate what really a relationship with God is all about. You know, the biggest hindrance to Jesus being known is the church in general, because it's revealed God as someone he's not. And that is going to be exposed by the light that we reveal as we come to know God for ourselves. John 3:33-36. Whoever lays hold of this testimony has the evidence of God's truth embossed like an impression of a signet ring, resonating in their inner consciousness. For the one who is sent from God communicates God's gift language from the limitless resources of the Spirit. The theme of this conversation celebrates the extravagant love the Father has for his Son. And in him, every gift of God is revealed. In his hands extends God's touch. He is God's embrace of the human race. That's a description of Jesus, demonstrating who God was in God's light and God's love. John 1:14, suddenly the invisible world takes on visible form, the incarnation in him, and now confirmed in us, the most accurate, tangible display of God's eternal thought finds expression in human life. God's thoughts want to be expressed through us, because he had a thought and a desire in his heart for us before time, and called us into being, and we came to be light. And now he wants us to express that thought, our identity, our destiny, to the world, so the world can see what real life is all about. John 1:14, the Word became a human being. We are his address. He resides in us. He captivates our gaze, does he? The glory we see there is not a religious replica. He is the authentic begotten Son. The glory that Adam lost returns in fullness. Only grace can communicate truth in such complete context. And that's in us. So we can reveal it, not keep it to ourselves. Oh, great, isn't it? I've got this wonderful relationship with God, which brings me so much blessing. But I'm so selfish with it, I'm not bothered about the rest of the world. Then it isn't really there. Because if it is really there and we connect with it, it will always cause us to want to be demonstrations of that light to other people. 1 John 1:5, my conversation with you flows from the same source which illuminates this fellowship of union with the Father and the Son. This, then, is the essence of the message. God is radiant light, and in him there exists not even a trace of obscurity or darkness at all. You know, James 1:17, light proceeds like rays from the source, the Father of light. This is something which is ongoing. All these gifts, who we are as a gift to the world, is a demonstration of light. 1 John 1:7, we are invited to explore the dimensions of the same light that engulfs God. When we see the light, in his light, fellowship ignites. In his light, we understand how the blood of Jesus is the removal of every stain of sin. The success of the cross celebrates our redeemed innocence. So when we engage that fullness of light, when we're in the love of God, then it demonstrates how the world can be set free, how the world can have their stain washed away, how the light can reveal their character, nature, and destiny as called and created by God. God calls us to walk in the light, to live in the light, to demonstrate the light, to be the light, to use light effectively and creatively to bring heaven to earth. Amen.